That's your friend John Walden. I want to have a little Bible study with you just now on the subject of why little children suffer. Now, this is a question that disturbs a great many people. I know one man, at least, who has given up all profession of religion, who no longer is interested in the Bible and in spiritual things. He wasn't much interested to begin with, but he's lost all interest because he said, when I see little children suffering, I just can't believe. Well, let's face the fact. Little children are suffering. And they're suffering perhaps more now than ever before. There are multitudes of hungry children. Children are suffering because of the sin of their parents and other people. This is a wicked, cruel world. In the 8th chapter of Romans, we're told, we know, verse 22 says, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, that is, we who are believers, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The whole creation, or every creature, groans in pain until this moment. Why, they say that even the sounds of nature are in the minor key. We speak about the wind moaning or howling. And we listen to the birds and we find out that most of their songs end in a minor. We see creation preying upon one another. Now, why have all these things happened to the world? Did God make the world like this? No, he did not. When God made things, he made them right. When he made creation, all the creatures, the living things, and especially when he made man, he said, it's good. And it's very good. Things were right when they came from the hands of man, but something has happened to this creation. Now let's recognize that God did not make things as they are. An unbeliever said to a Christian, if there is a God, he should be ashamed of the mess this world is in. And the Christian said nothing for a little bit, and in their walk they came by where a wrecked train was lying on its side. And the Christian man looked at it and said, Baldwin Locomotive Works. I should think the Baldwin Locomotive people would be ashamed of themselves to put out an engine like this. What, a man said, you fool, that train's been in a wreck. He said, so has the human race. You and I are part of a wrecked creation. If you think of this, and if you realize that man was given responsibility for this earth, but that he handed it over to Satan, that he sinned against God, and that he is in a state of rebellion, and that the whole creation is out of joint, you won't be surprised that there is suffering in the world today. Now let me say something that may shock you a little bit. Suffering is not all bad. I mean that. I know it from experience. I know it from observation. There are many healthful effects, salutary effects of suffering. Many people, because of suffering, have been driven to God. Suffering often develops the faculties. One doctor said that he owed his success as a doctor to migraine headache. He wasn't able to sleep at night, and so he studied, worked. Another thing, the suffering that we see in the world today ought to show man that there is something beyond this life. There's certainly no equality here. Things are certainly not evened up here. A little child is born into this world, it never has good health, and leaves the world very quickly. If that doesn't tell you that there is a life beyond when things are evened up, what does it tell you? I remember hearing about a man who visited a school for the deaf. I don't know whatever possessed him to ask this question, but he said to the children, why did God make me with good ears, and you unable to hear? And the teacher was stunned by such a question and wondered what could she do to keep the children from feeling hurt. And then the little girl went to the blackboard and wrote these words, a quotation from the Bible, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And there was a little girl who had learned that God's ways are the best ways. And I could give personal testimony to that. It's a very wonderful thing to see God's blessing in overruling the physical suffering even, and the poverty and all of the things that come into your life. But now, let me turn this discussion another way. Those of you who may feel like asking why is there so much suffering in the world and why do little children suffer, let me ask you, what are you doing to relieve this? 25 years ago, my wife and I began a home for children in Colorado Springs, which still continues and in which we are still interested. We have younger people operating it. We did that because we felt that something ought to be done to relieve little children's suffering, physical and especially spiritual. It's a very wonderful thing to be able to take in little children who need help and not only give them what they need for this life, but to teach them about the Lord Jesus. And a great many boys and girls have met the Savior at the Christian Home for Children in Colorado Springs. And this is only one small phase of the work. There are many opportunities to do something to relieve the needs of children. I would be careful about contributing toward anything that merely relieves the physical need, or that in addition to relieving the physical need, perhaps teaches something which is not right spiritually. We want not only to see that the children are relieved physically, but we want to see that they are taught, that they get to know about the Savior, that they become happy through trusting in Him. Now, God has a plan for children. First of all, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and this love extends to children. We know this because we know how the Savior treated children when He was here. The only way you and I can know God is through the Lord Jesus. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him or told Him out. So if you want to know what the Father is like, you observe the Son. The Lord Jesus loved little children. You recall how He called them to Him, how He said, "Suffer little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." He certainly was not saying, "They will become Mine," or they will have a right to the children, to the kingdom of heaven if these children are baptized. There was no hint of that at all. Don't ever say that God is going to take baptized children home and consign the others to some other place. Oh, don't think of that. God is not cruel. God is loving toward all children. And when He called the little children to Him, those were children who could come to Him. And little children can come to Him today. If they're old enough to understand at all, if they can understand a mother's love, they can understand the Savior's love. And it's our privilege to lead them to the Lord Jesus. I accepted Christ when I was just a youngster, and I know a great many more who have. You see, when a child is brought to the Lord Jesus, well, it's true for any person, a child or an adult, when that person comes to Christ, he is immediately relieved from the greatest suffering in all of the universe, the suffering for sin. Now, little children may continue to suffer physically. They may not have what they need here on this earth, but a child who has been led to trust in the Lord Jesus has been immediately and for eternity relieved from the greatest of all suffering, the suffering because of our own sin. And you know, I'm sure, that this is possible because the Lord Jesus suffered in our place. Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. The Lord Jesus suffered for our sins on the cross, but we mustn't forget that He suffered a great deal before the cross. He suffered the poverties of poor children, for the Lord Jesus was born into a home, the poorest of the poor. He suffered the hardships that children and young people endure when they grow up in the wrong kind of a town. He lived in a town that would be considered the other side of the tracks. They said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And the Lord Jesus lived in that environment. He suffered persecution. He suffered a great many things. But then finally He went to the cross and suffered for our sins. And he did this in order that he might put away the sins of little children. And I believe the scripture teaches that a child who dies before the age of accountability is taken into the presence of the Lord. He says the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost when he's talking of children. When he's talking of grown-ups, he says he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He doesn't have to seek the child. His death avails for these children who die before the age of accountability. So you see, the Lord has done something about the suffering of children. The human race brought it on. But the Lord Jesus, by his suffering at the cross, by his love for us, redeemed us, so that children and grown-ups too were willing to put their trust in the Lord Jesus, may be saved from the suffering that is for eternity. Have you trusted in yourself? Are you sure that he is your Savior? And if you are sure, what are you doing to relieve the suffering of children? What are you doing to lead little boys and girls to Christ? Our Father, we thank thee that some cared about us, that we heard the gospel story, that we learned the gospel song, and that we trusted the Savior while we were still young. We pray for many more. God bless the children, and bless every effort to help them, to lead them to Christ. Bless thy word to each of us, we pray in our Savior's name. Amen.